When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, and welcome to the Over and Back Classic NBA podcast brought to you by Stathead. I am Jason, and with me, as usual, is Rich.
Hello, hello.
All right, we've got a fun one today. We are have another one of our Stathead-focused episodes. We're going to talk about NBA players and where their skills are a little bit unusual compared to their normal position. So we're going to talk about some shooting guards. Hey, they like to block shots. We're going to talk about some centers who like to pass. We're talking about some shooting guards who, not a big fan of shooting. So I think this should be a fun one.
Yeah, we can expand this. We can even do a later one, too, if people like this. We can do, you know, point guards who don't pass or something right, like that. Yeah. You know, it can be the opposite, centers who don't block, you know, something right. like that. So I think there's a lot of fun ways to do this. And, yeah, Stathead's powerful tools obviously help us do that. We want to thank them, of course, for sponsoring this show. You can use our exclusive promo code BACK. BACK to get $20 off an annual subscription to any of Stathead.com's products. Of course, thank them for sponsoring this week's show and giving us the tools to take our research to the next level. And they also have powerful tools for not just basketball, but for football, for hockey, for baseball. All that stuff is available at Stathead.com. Again, promo code BACK, BACK, to get $20 off your annual subscription to any of their amazing, amazing products. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. And obviously, you know, Stathead, we would not be able to do this show nearly as effectively without Stathead, without Basketball Reference, obviously indispensable for the 8 years that you and I have been doing the show now. I think we've just hit our eighth anniversary. So pretty exciting times and going to be a fun show in order to discuss that topic.
Absolutely. Let's get into this. Let's get some guards All who right. block. Guards who block. What?
Guards Excuse who me? Block. Yeah.
That could be tall, Absolutely. Right? That could be tall. That could block shots or whatever. So, yeah. So, the way we ended up looking at this went to Stathead and did find combined seasons or careers matching criteria. That could be a little bit of a, I know some people tell me they go to Stathead and they're not sure exactly, you know, what to click to get to where they get to. So, for this particular one, I'll run you through everything we did. So, you find combined seasons or careers matching criteria sorted by descending and blocks. Then choose any season, regular season. Of course, do ABA and NBA as we here are respecters of the ABA. I think it defaults Absolutely. To not that, but us here, we count the ABA. I think the Absolutely. NBA sort of counts the ABA but when they want to. But we do, always here. So we always click that ratio, the little radio button as well. Then for position, I unchecked everything except for shooting guards and point guard. So I don't want to muddy anything with the guard slash forwards. I don't want any small forwards. I want shooting guards and I want point guards. So then I got my results and the winner is Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, and not a huge mystery either. If you were following Dwayne Wade's final season in the NBA, or actually his final few seasons in the NBA, they did an article March 4th, 2019, ESPN.com said Dwayne Wade now has more block shots than any guard in NBA history. The Miami Heat star swatted away the 1,052nd shot of his career Monday night, blocking an attempt by Atlanta's BJ Johnson. What can you tell me, Atlanta Hawks fan, about BJ Johnson?
I cannot tell you anything about BJ
I don't
Johnson.
Know who BJ Johnson not. Is. Well, he is a part of history because he was the shot that Wade blocked to get there finally. But when factoring in regular season and playoff games, that's one more block than Michael Jordan had in his career. So there you go. That's either way, it's pretty cool, Wade said after the game. So the rest of our top 10 follows. It's a very, so this is where, okay, this is where Stathead versus how the NBA counts it versus playoff versus regular season, all that other stuff, you know, kind of gets weird is they're using the number there, 1,052, because they're including playoff games, regular season playoff games. Plus, sure. There's some funkiness here with like who is, you know, Michael Jordan at some points, was he a small forward? At some points, was he a shooting guard? And that's, technically, I think Michael Jordan has more if you count all of his small forward seasons or whatever. But we're just doing shooting guards, and we're just doing point guards. We're just ascending by blocks. So the NBA, that number that they listed on that ESPN.com article is the same result. Dwayne Wade has the most in history of guards. So he is first. Michael Jordan is second at 828. But again, it gets a little funky there, because if you do go to Michael Jordan's overall, if you go to, you know, on Basketball Reference, you go to Michael Jordan, you look at his overall blocks, you will see that his regular season is 893, which is a little more than this, but then it's small forward. Sure. But talking about guards, he did it as small forward. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, to clarify, he's listed as a small forward his final two seasons with the Wizards. And the way Basketball Reference generally, you know, has positions, especially early on, is it's listed by height, you know. So if you're the, you know, the third tallest player on the team, generally you're going to be slotted in the small forward scenario. So that's where some of that is a little bit funky. It's like, I don't remember Michael Jordan ever playing small forward. But yeah, again, positions obviously are fluid as well, you know. So it's still a good metric. It's not 100% perfect.
Obviously, exactly.
And we're having fun here.
It's all for fun. Not gonna
sweat it too much. Yeah.
No, we are not. But and technically, if you look at that, I think that that Warriors year, I mean, technically, I think he would
have actually been a small forward.
Yeah, because Jerry Stackhouse was there, and that's like the first time, like, because obviously the Bulls year, and this is where a name we're going to mention here in literally the next couple seconds here, Ron Harper was the point guard, you know, starting point guard for the Bulls teams, and Jordan was clearly the shooting guard. But in those Wizards years, there is a case to be made that Larry Hughes or Tyronn Lue are the, you know, point guards, and that Jerry Stackhouse is the, you know, the shooting guard.
Right.
So
exactly,
But either way, the NBA counts it as Wade. ESPN.com counts it as Wade. Dwayne Wade counted it as Wade because they asked him after the game, and he was super excited about it. He said, either way, it's pretty cool. So he was super excited about becoming the NBA's all-time guard blocker. But our other top 10 is Dwayne Wade, as I said, number one. Michael Jordan, number two. The aforementioned Ron Harper, number three. Clyde Drexler, number four. Dennis Johnson, number five. Number five for DJ. Good for him. The very small, I mean, I forget what he was actually listed at, but he always seemed like much smaller than everybody else on the court by a lot.
Yeah, like 6'3". I mean, he was tall.
Don't think he was 6'3". What do you think? I don't know. I guess maybe.
He's listed as 6'4".
Get it. No way. Maybe he's just playing with exceptionally tall men all the time, which I guess, to be fair, you know, when you're playing in the NBA, you are playing with exceptionally tall men pretty often. So
usually,
So we'll allow that. But so Dennis Johnson, number five. Kobe Bryant, number six. I think that one's not too surprising, the combination of height and athleticism. I may be surprised that he's not a little bit higher up on this list than other guys. Danny Green at number seven. And unfortunately, I don't think he's going to have a chance to add to this one. He might be done in his career. Obviously, a little bit older, just suffered a pretty major injury these last season. So hopefully he can, because that'd be pretty cool to see Danny Green vault up the list of blocking guards. But that might not happen. Michael Cooper, number eight. Number nine may surprise you. That's what the headline of this article is going to be, or this this podcast. Best blocking guards. Number nine may surprise you. It's sort of some shitty clickbait. James Harden, 512 blocks. So put some respect on James Harden's defense.
Put some respect there on his defense.
Come on. Guys.
Come on.
Yeah. And he's got himself in tip-top shape. I've been watching his off-season workouts. Could see him definitely adding to his block total. And then number 10. Eddie Jones at 508. So the thing to me that's most remarkable about this is just how high Wade and Jordan are on this list over everybody else. The gap between Ron Harper and Michael Jordan is 99 blocks, and Kobe, who is sixth place, is 321 blocks away from Dwayne Wade. It's insane. Like, why? What made Wade and Jordan so good at blocking? Like, they're just so much better than every other guard in history. It's pretty cool. Alvin Robinson, who shows up on our list pretty later, you know, he had like 329 total blocks in his career. And Wade has a whole Albert Robinson's career more than Kobe Bryant, who's six, who's a good blocking guard. Kobe Bryant's a good blocking guard. He's obviously you know, top 10 all time. Wade and Jordan are just that much farther ahead of all those guys, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, and I would say, and again, some of that is some of the position stuff that we talked about, like probably some of, Kobe's is listed under small forward, which obviously would be a little bit different. Yeah, if you're looking at Dwayne Wade, just for the regular season in terms of all-time blocks, he is 129th all-time. If you're just talking about all-time raw totals regular season, he's 129th.
That's pretty great. I mean, considering there's a lot of taller men that have played in the NBA than Dwayne Wade, that's pretty remarkable. That's impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And obviously the vast majority of players who are ahead of him are some centers. You've got a few, forwards. You got your Terry Tylers, you got your Josh Smiths, you got, a few guys who weren't, who weren't strictly big men, but yeah, most of these guys were centers or, power forwards center hybrids. You got Sean Marion, 58, some guys you would think of. Obviously, blocks have not been tracked since 1974.
Right,
so some
right.
Bill Russell is probably number one on this list if you are going to, for everyone, of course, not guards. But Akeem Olajuwon, by the way, is listed all time, 3,830. So,
it's a lot.
That is a lot of blocks. Yeah.
Good blocker, that Hakeem Olajuwon. I think I could declare that. Yeah. So that's,
I think you can.
That's interesting there. So that's guard blocks. Kind of fun. Kind of interesting.
Right.
James Harden, keep an eye on James Harden's block watch. He only needs a couple. If James Harden could play 10 more seasons in the NBA, he could really challenge for this.
He really could. Yeah.
He could challenge this. So keep an eye on that for sure. Hey, if you're in the media, make sure you sit down. If you get a chance to sit down with James Harden at any point on the next year, you're covering a Philadelphia 76ers game. Say, hey, James, do you know that you are ninth all time among guard blocks? And are you looking? Is it something that, are you? Obviously, he's going to say, no, I'm just trying to win the game. I don't want the distractions. But you got to imagine it's weighing on him pretty heavily that he's, he's getting there. Little by little, he's going to pass Michael Cooper. It's not going to take long until he passes Michael Cooper. And then Danny Green is in his sights. So it's
someone with, the ability to be motivated like James Harden.
Similar to Michael Jordan number two, motivated by just anything. You'll find anything to get motivated by. That's James Harden too. So it's just a guy who's hyper focused competitive player. So I'm sure this chase has got him
absolutely
real excited. Yeah. So
all right, now we got centers who pass, which
what's
always fun. Centers always fun pass? Centers who pass. There's some fun ones here, of course. So looking at this in a few different ways. So the first search, four combined seasons, NBA or ABA in the regular season, playing center, and then requiring guys. So I did minimum of 200 games, I thought was a pretty good metric here.
Yeah, and that's one thing, not to interrupt, for Stathead. You always are going to try to, in some cases, especially when you're looking at like per games or percentages or something, you're going to want to make the games something. Because a lot of times you'll get a result and it's like this one dude who played one game, played 4 minutes, and his percentage is 99%. You're like, whoa, hold on. Yeah, so,
wow.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. you need to refine some of that stuff. So games 100 or 200, I think, is a very, very smart way to go about this.
Yeah. So there are 14 players who are over 16% in assist percentage of centers. And again, this is one of those where it's only counting the games where they played centers. So if they played power forward, it's not counting those games. So it's like Tim Duncan is ninth on this list at 16.7, but this is only the games that he played center, not the games he played power forward. Pau Gasol's in this list. Al Horford's on this list. They're all very similar percentage of 16.6 to 16.8. So not really a surprise who's number one, Nikola Jokic. What might be a surprise is his assist percentage is 33.9 and number two, Alvin Adams, 21.4. So that's a 12.5 percentage points difference between the two. And that is the same difference as between Alvin Adams at 21.4 and number 99, who was Bill Laimbeer.
Wow.
So
yes. he's totally changed the game. We talked about it a little bit on our episode about Bill Russell with Dr. Curtis Harris about how Bill Russell's passing, nowadays it won't look that interesting, but because of Nikola Jokic, because it's like this guy has totally changed the game. He's just blown up this stat. Probably for the rest, unless there's probably will be clones coming up in the next generation of, like, you know, big men who pass like this, but we're seeing rarefied air. We're seeing like a guy that's just in a different level in terms of how he can pass, the skills to pass, the willingness to pass, the eye, there's just everything. It's pretty remarkable. And yeah, that number, I think, sets it right there. There have been other big men who passed, but he is as good as all of them. Almost, you know, from, like you said, number two to number 99, that's the difference in percentage between him and number two, Alvin Adams. It's just wild.
Right. And I'll go ahead and list the guys here because they're mostly more recent guys. You know, Jokic, number one, Alvin Adams, number two, Tom Borwinkle of the 70s Bulls.
Yeah.
1940. Yeah. You love Tom Borwinkle.
I love Tom Borwinkle. Yeah. Yeah. That's something I'm usually described as a man who loves Tom Borwinkle. Yes.
Absolutely. So, yeah, great passer for the 70s Bulls. Joel Embiid, DeMarcus Cousins, Marc Gasol, Bill Walton, Pau Gasol, Tim Duncan, Al Horford, Joakim Noah, Brad Miller, Vlade Divac, and Mason Plumlee. So mostly guys who played in the last 15 years, obviously a handful of exceptions. So obviously higher. I'm sure the era in which Jokic and the more modern guys play helps a little bit in terms of pace and space and, you know, being able to pass for a lot of threes and all that. I'm sure that helps them, although obviously Jokic is on another level no matter when he would play. So, doing the same search, but including power forwards and centers. I just thought this was interesting for reference. So Jokic is second on this list. LeBron James, number one, 36.3. So this is only for the 291 games in which he has been listed as either power forward or center. Usually mm-hmm. he's been listed as a small forward in his career. So probably higher if you had the full career. But Jokic is number two. Giannis is three with 29.3%. Draymond Green is fourth. Larry Bird is fifth. But there's a big distance between Larry Bird and LeBron James. LeBron James, 36.3. Again, Larry Bird, 22. So a 14 percentage point difference between Larry Bird and LeBron James. Now, okay, assist percentage is one metric that has some issues with it. I mean, it's not going to tell you everything you need to tell about how good a guy is at passing. There's other things that go on with that, obviously, but that's a surprisingly huge difference between there. And even Jokic, you know, being 11 points, 12 points ahead of Bird is pretty amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, what's funny is one of the guys on the list, Chris Webber, who's number nine at 20.2, is a guy that I remember watching as a kid and it being like, look at how awesome Chris Webber is at passing. Right. Like, yeah. And it was. He was great. Like, he'd get in that little elbow and, you know, guys would drive. And Vlade Divac, too, who doesn't even appear on this list, was a guy that, you know, made those Kings teams hum. It was like these two big men that could pass. And it was wild. Yeah. The guys would cut. And, you know, you got Mike Bibby cutting in the lane and, you know, Chris Webber throwing a behind-the-back pass to him or whatever. And I was like, whoa, this is as good as it's ever going to be. And, yeah, he's just been blown away, just absolutely blown away by the current crop of guys, particularly Jokic and like you said, LeBron now in his last half of his career, you know, kind of becoming more of a power forward, a little bit more of a big man. But
obviously incredible passer, but just at that level, just at a different level, obviously, for others. And the other guys in this list, Blake Griffin's number six, Tony Kukoc after him, Alvin Adams, we already mentioned before, Chris Webber at nine, Kevin Garnett at 10, Boris Diaw. We always like to get a Boris Diaw reference.
Those are
the guys, those are the bigs, you know, power forward centers above 20%. So I thought that was an interesting search there.
Yeah.
And also, if you want to do it looking at the same search for centers, but sorting by descending assists per 75 positions. So this obviously this helps guys who don't play as heavy in minutes. But if you're, looking at it from raw numbers. So Jokic is number one at 7.6 per assists per 75 positions, which is roughly positions that you're going to play if you're going to play, if you're going to be a starter and play the full game. Top Borwinkle second at 6.2. So he was a relatively low minutes per game player in his career, but did strongly here. Alvin Adams is third. Sam Lacy, another guy strong here. Bam Adebayo, 4.2. Again, only about half of what Jokic did, and he's tied with Bill Walton, but obviously a strong passer as well. So and most of the same guys who were on the other lists are on here, but a few who weren't. Mel Counts played for the Lakers and a few other teams in his career. Rich Kelly, Wes Unseld, of course, one of the great passers of his era. Oliver Miller, interesting.
Yeah, the Big O. I was surprised to see the real Big O there. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, and if you want to look at total assists for guys who played center in their career for 200 games, number one is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with 5,660. Will Chamberlain is next. Bill Russell after him. Wes Unseld. Sam Lacy. Jokic is number eight with 3,281. Definitely has a chance. He probably only played really the first half of his career. Definitely has a chance to be number one in terms of centers all time in total assists. But if you want to look and see where he would actually land among the all-time assist leaders, what do you think about that, Richard?
Yeah, that's going to be tough. So for him right now, as you said, he's got 3,281 in 527 games, which is very, very good. Everybody else in that top list that you mentioned there, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, obviously he's got over 5,000. He also had 1,500 games, 1,560 games. Sure. Jokic barely, not even close to half of that. Just yet. So like you said, he's only still in the first half of his career and he's already eighth all time among centers. As far as among all times, though, it definitely seems like a guy who can get to 8,000 career assists. That seems pretty doable. That would put him at 13th on the current list of assist totals. I think it's the 7,000. He'll be in the top 20. He's currently 193rd, but what I think is interesting is looking at the last few years of, the last 4 years, he's had 500 plus, and the last 2 years, in 2021, he had 599 assists, so almost 600. And then last year, he had a meager 584, really didn't seem to pass the ball enough there.
Right.
Jokic,
yeah. Come on,
give the ball to, insert the terrible, the Nuggets. Unfortunately, without Jamal Murray and Michael Porter, got real tired there for a while.
Yeah,
it was just
some
real,
So, Aaron Gordon. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Sorry, Aaron. I always forget he's on that team. I watch the Nuggets and I'm like, Aaron Gordon. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. He's still hanging around. That's cool. So he can vault up the list pretty quickly if he just keeps doing what he's doing, which I imagine, barring, injury or like the Nuggets being like, hey, Jokic, stop passing.
Stop passing so much.
here's our new plan. You're not going to pass anymore. What made you and us so good, we're not going to do that anymore. We want to get rid of that as quick as possible. So I'd imagine they're going to continue on that path. So let's assume that he has four more years of 500 plus assists. That's very conservative that he has four more years of seasons similar to what he had over the last 4 years. That puts him 62nd, just above Norm Van Leer. So he's going to vault up that list almost no matter what. I think it's pretty safe to assume that that's probably going to happen in his career. Now, if he has six more 500 plus assist seasons, that gets him up to 34th all time, just behind Jerry West and just ahead of Scottie Pippen. So I think it's pretty doable that he can definitely get to that 8,000, like you said, put him 13th on the current list. All it's really going to take is him to be, 550 assists per year conservatively. If he does that over the next 5 to 6 to 7 years or whatever, that's getting him pretty close to that. To get into that upper echelon, though, is going to be very tough. To get to 10,000 assists, he needs about 13 more seasons of 500 plus assists. That's
going to
be tough.
That's going to
be hard. And it's just obviously when he comes in the league, people don't really know what he is, and he's just kind of a traditional big man. And it's going to, could he possibly have 13 more years of this? Maybe. I certainly wouldn't bet on that, but it's going to be a tough ad because he's competing with guys who, from the minute they joined the NBA, it was like John Stockton. From the minute he joined the NBA, you knew what John Stockton was going to be, and he was exactly what he was from day one. And then he played almost 20 years or whatever. So it's like, that's going to be tough for anybody to kind of match that. So he'll be interesting to see. I think he's going to vault up that list. I think he is going to probably make it at least in the top 20. I don't know if he's going to make it in the top 10, but he's, I don't think, ever going to compete for the all-time list, but that's fine. Yeah, it's going to be very tough for anybody to really compete.
Right. There. There's seven guys who have more than 10,000 assists in their career. LeBron James at seventh with 10,045. So
even LeBron and Chris Paul, and we've done episodes about this, about all-time records that can get broken. Chris Paul, as great as Chris Paul is, we're watching one of the greatest point guards of all time. He's not going to beat John Stockton's assist record.
No, he's almost 11,000.
Right, he's just not going to have to.
As more than 15,000, almost 16,000. So that's going to be hard to touch. That might be one of those almost untouchable records.
For sure. And LeBron too. Again, we're watching one of the great passers of all time. We're close. Yeah. So
it's far more likely, in fact, that LeBron is going to break the overall points record than break the overall assist record, which is at the beginning of his year was kind of hard to fathom that he would be threatening either one. But absolutely. So that's a funny thing.
You know how to book flights and hotels.
All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, let's get to the final one here. Shooting guards who don't shoot. So for this, we did combined seasons, NBA and ABA in the regular season. Guys who played shooting guard went to the advanced stats and did required games over 200 again to get that. And then field goal attempts per 75 possessions. And our winner, Andre Roberson. Yes.
Andre Roberson.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like a name that now feels like it's in the past, even though when we started this show, he was definitely a contemporary player.
Right.
I think we started the year that he started. So, yeah, we're all old. We're very, very old
here. We are very old. Yes.
Yeah. Now he seems like a player of a past era. Andre Roberson, of course, from the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'll get a little bit more into him in a minute. Real quick, I just want to mention some of the other names on this list. So he is at 6.2 field goal attempts per 75 possessions. Andre Roberson, which is, again, playing 19.6 minutes per game is pretty low for a shooting guard. There's some other guys that are pretty low. T.R. Dunn. We'll talk a little bit about T.R. Dunn here in a little bit. He is at 6.5 field goals per 75 possessions. John Wetzel, Mike Barr, Matt Gaukas, Michael Curry, Thabo Sefolosha, Shane Battier. Number 9 is Tony Snell. Number 10 is Adrian Griffin. 11, Trenton Hassel. 12, Tom Garrick. 13, Dean Meminger, number 14, Quentin Ross, and number 15, I think he's still conservative. I don't know if he's still going to have a job next year, but Josh Okogie. So Josh Okogie from the Timberwolves and a few other teams as well for on that list. But let's talk about Roberson. He very interesting NBA career. He was not a prolific scorer in college. He did average 10 a game his final 2 years in Colorado, as well as 2 years of straight of double-digit rebounds as well for the Colorado Buffaloes. So good for Andre Roberson there. So he's drafted in the late first round by Minnesota, later traded with Malcolm Lee to the Warriors for cash and a second-round pick. The Warriors would then turn him around and trade him to OKC for Archie Goodwin. So now I know why he played so well in those Golden State Warriors seasons. He was like, I'm pissed off that you traded me.
Yeah,
Archie Goodwin. Prove that I'm better than Archie Goodwin.
I am going to lock you down, Klay Thompson.
And
the conference finals.
One game, not so much. He did an job. The one game,
not great.
But hey, you know what? Everyone's due for a lucky game every so often, Klay Thompson. But Andre Roberson, mostly a bench player his first year in OKC, took on a bigger role, started starting games in 2015. I started 65 of 67 games, averaging only 3 field goals per game, which is pretty wild when you're a big time starter. By 2017, though, he's starting all 79 games he played, averaging 30.1 minutes per game, but shooting only 5.9 field goals per game. That's just per game. You, of course, did the number of per 75 possessions at the beginning. We talked about that, 6.2. This, he's playing a full game almost, and he's still only shooting, 5.9 times per game. So we'll get to that here in a bit, because his line is pretty fascinating, and it is going to relate to that number two guy that we talked about. But as far as other guys on this list, it might be hard to believe Magic Johnson is listed in the top 100 here. He's tied for 94th, 271 games between 1980 and 1983, where he is listed as a shooting guard. Yes, he officially at that point shared point guard duties with Norm Nixon and did play some shooting guard as well at that time. So it just seems hard to believe, unfathomable, that Magic Johnson would ever be considered a shooting guard, but he does appear on this list here And I guess he would, I mean, I don't know if I would be super surprised that he would make a list of guards who don't shoot, but he shot. I mean, he obviously scored a bunch, but not necessarily like a prolific scorer for such a big time superstar. But let's get to Roberson and Tierra Dunn, because then that year that I talked about with Roberson really got me thinking. That 2017 got me thinking, okay, so he started 79 games. He averaged 30.1 minutes per game and shot only 5.9 field goals per game. So, okay, let me put that into stat head there. Right. Guys who start over 70 games average over 30 minutes per game and shoot less than six times per game. How many times has that been done by a shooting guard? Once.
One time.
And it's not Andre Roberson. What?
No.
Excuse me. No, because he was a small forward that year. He was not a shooting guard that year. So pretty interesting that he comes up there. So the lone guard in NBA and ABA history to start over 70 games, average more than 30 minutes per game, and shoot less than six times per game is T.R. Dunn for the 1984 Denver Nuggets. He shot only 4.6 field goals per game. But when you're on a team with Kiki Vandeweghe, Alex English, and Dan Issel, there's not a whole lot of shots to go around. There's only one ball, and those guys are shooting it most of the time. Yeah. So, and this, of course, is the Doug Moe Denver Nuggets. Lead the league in scoring, also lead the league in giving up points, which leads to them being only 38-44. That year, they are second in offensive rating, you know, points per 100 possessions at 111.3. And they are 22nd out of 23 teams in defensive rating at 112.3 points per possessions. And as you can kind of do the math, wait a minute, 112.3 is more than 111.3. That's correct, and that's why they were 38-44. So,
yeah,
T.R. Dunn.
Yeah, great defensive player, though.
Oh, great. Yeah. And that's pretty much when we look at this list of guys, at least like conservative guys that people listen to this have probably all watched play. Andre Roberson, if you watched him play, you knew exactly what it was. They had Russell Westbrook. They had Kevin Durant. They did not need Andre Roberson to shoot, and he didn't. Trust me. Yeah. He got the ball and would say, "Yep, nope, I don't want the ball. Nope, you take the ball." So
I will pass it to you. Yep. Yeah.
He would, you know, he'd dunk a few times here and there. Sure. Throw it out some alley-oops, but yeah, he's not taking any shots. T.R. Dunn, same deal. T.R. Dunn pretty much never got, I mean, the ball wasn't getting to him very often either. So it wasn't like T.R. Dunn had a shot attempt and was like, "No, I'm going to pass it up." Like Kiki was like, putting that ball up, and T.R. was just like, try to play defense, because if I'm not here, we're going to have 150 points per game.
So. Not much happening. Yeah.
Right.
Not much protection behind me. Got to stop my guy or else no one else is going to stop me.
Yeah. So, which I always love that, like, the defensive stalwart for a team that just sucks at defense. And that's T.R. Dunn, man. I love it. It's just like,
it's a great time.
Like, he had to go to the game every, like, he had to suit up every game knowing the rest of his teammates didn't give a shit about defense. His coach didn't give a shit about defense, but they wanted him to give a shit about defense, which is tough. Yeah. That's a tough run for him.
Guard. Yeah.
Yeah. And then,
it's a little easier if you're a big man, but Yeah.
And then the other guys, like Michael Curry, again, kind of a role man, great defensive player. Tabo Sefolosha, very much the same. I was kind of surprised Shane Battier, but obviously we're talking about shooting guards here. I would say the years when he started to kind of come into his own, especially those later Houston years, he was more of a kind of small forward type. So I wonder if that would grade out a little bit more.
Only 207 games out of his career from 05 to 2010. So he had a higher offensive role a bit with the Grizzlies, and then, you know, later we had some other.
Right. So if you're wondering, like, wait a minute, he shot a little bit more than I remember. Yeah, as a shooting guard, he didn't necessarily do it as much.
And you know, he's playing with McGrady most of that time, and who are taking most of the shots.
similar to the T.R. Dunn.
And our test, so exactly. Yeah,
conundrum there. So, but some of those other guys, just kind of defensive dudes. So Andre Roberson and T.R. Dunn, shooting guards who do not shoot. So there you go.
All right. Well, this was a lot of fun, Rich. I enjoyed taking a look at a little bit on unusual NBA skills. We'll have to see if, depending on the reception we get for this one, maybe this will be a one we bring back and get a few more here. But want to say
thanks. Suggest oddities. Yeah, suggest oddities to us. Hey,
absolutely.
Look up this guy who does this, or, you know, guys who do this. That's great too.
We would love, we would definitely be into that. And if listeners want to share their own with us as well, you know, we're on Twitter at Over and Back NBA. If you want to share what you have with us. Thanks again to StatHead.com for sponsoring this week's show, giving us the tools to take our research to the next level. Remember, exclusive promo code BACK to get $20 off an annual subscription to any of StatHead.com's products. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can find us, as we mentioned already, on Twitter and Facebook at Over and Back NBA. Listen to us wherever podcasts are played. Go ahead and subscribe. And if you like what we're doing, please give us a rating and review. Really appreciate it. It makes us feel good and helps other listeners find the show as well. So thanks again for listening. We'll be back again soon.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big.